Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text, Gospel lesson. Two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had laid, one at the head and one at the feet. The epistle lesson. Made alive in the spirit in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. And our meditation starts out with the word Amen. The simple word that ends the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to think about it for a moment. When we speak the Amen, we are speaking in response to something God has said, or in response to a prayer that we have heard, and we are saying, yes, yes, it shall be so, or yes, yes, may it be so. That's from our end. When God speaks the Amen, it is something entirely different. And you find that scattered through the gospel lessons when Jesus says, and the literal Greek is, Amen, Amen, I say to you. Translated, well, King James, verily, verily, I say to you. In modern translations, truly, truly, I say to you. But he speaks the Amen. In speaking the Amen, what God is saying, what Jesus is saying, is very simply, this is so. This is the truth. And no question whether he has the power to make it so. After all, he is the one who said, let there be light. And there was light. So the word of God is able to cause things to be. And we bring all of that into Good Friday, and the Saturday of rest, and Easter Sunday. And realize that what has happened is that God the Father has spoken the Amen over the sacrifice of his Son Jesus. Amen. It is enough. Amen. To Jesus' prayer, Father, forgive them. Amen. Over Jesus' words, it is finished. The Amen spoken, and God the Father affirming and stating, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. As he said that at Jesus' baptism, as he said that on the mountain of transfiguration, so once again God the Father says that through the resurrection, through the raising of Jesus from the dead.
Pause here because the host is in the way. That's better. You can erase that from the recording later. So, okay. Let me turn to that epistle lesson, and it lines up for us what is it that we have been teaching for centuries about the resurrection of Jesus. And very simply, what has been passed down to us, what we find in the Scripture, what we have boldly said in front of the world is this. That Jesus Christ, made alive in the tomb, then with that risen and glorified body, then he descends into hell. That's why in confirmation class, we teach that Jesus' descent into hell is the first step of his exaltation, using his divine powers completely and fully. We teach that when Jesus descended into hell, it was not to suffer. It was not to pay more of a penalty for sin. It was to declare his victory. He went to hell to preach a sermon there, a sermon to an unbelieving and unwilling congregation. A sermon to a congregation of those who would not and never will turn to God. A sermon that they could not stop, but a sermon that he would preach. And as he preached that sermon, He told them of his victory. He told them of the resurrection and the resurrection of the body. And he told them that he was sharing that resurrection of the body with all of his people and all who believe in him. He preached that sermon in part about you, declaring that his victory is for you as well. And isn't that an amazing thing? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ prove? Again, from the Catechism, that Christ is the Son of God. He is who he said he was. Second, his doctrine is the truth. His teaching is reliable, and you can trust him because he backed it up by rising from the dead. All believers in Christ will rise to eternal life. We will rise. But also, God the Father accepted Christ's sacrifice for the reconciliation of the world. The sacrifice made for us, for our sins, the blood of the Lamb shed for us. And then, a story to tell you. It is a story that has to do with a deaf pastor and a friend of his, an unbelieving, actually a Jewish friend of his. And they were talking about the mercy seat and the worship at the temple in Jerusalem. And this man said, there is no more forgiveness of sins. There cannot be forgiveness of sins because the temple's gone. The mercy seat is gone. Where is the blood of the Lamb to be given? Where is the blood of the Lamb for me? And the pastor, this pastor for the deaf, talking with his friend, told his friend, You want to see where that mercy seat is? I can tell you. And he took him in the Bible to where Mary Magdalene, looking inside the tomb, she sees two angels sitting, one at the head, one at the feet of where the body of Jesus had lain, where the blood of the Lamb had been. It's now sundown. The day now changes. It is now Easter. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Oh, I have to finish the story, don't I? Yeah. And you think about that. In the temple, we have the depictions of the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat was the cover, the lid of that Ark of the Covenant. And once a year, the priest would go in and scatter the blood of the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, there on the mercy seat. One of the angels on one side, one of the angels on the other side, the carved cherubim. And on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene looks into the tomb and she sees exactly that layout. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was laid there wrapped in the burial shroud. His blood splattered there. And one on the left, one on the right, one at the head, one at the feet of where the body of Jesus was. The story continues, and that man, far advanced in the stages of cancer, that night. Well, that night he had trouble sleeping. Very disturbed sleep. His wife heard him time after time during the night saying, "It can't be. It can't be." In the morning, she found him kneeling on the floor by the bed, there in the posture of prayer. And that man, one more time, had the preaching of what Jesus had come to do given to him. It's no mistake, it's no accident. It is by the arrangement of God, laid out in the Old Testament, laid out there for the people to see, planning hundreds and hundreds of years ahead for when one angel would be there at the head, another at the feet. The mercy seat, the blood of the Lamb, calling to sinners. Well, that's where our forgiveness is. And on Easter we celebrate because that is where our life is. And that is eternity for us. Jesus has conquered. He has risen from the dead. He is reigning. He will return to gather all of his people into eternal life with himself. In Jesus' name, amen.